B-Pod Studios.
For a cop? Sorry.
No. He went into the projects because a bunch of black guys were harassing white people. Oh. He went out there and he tried to shoot him with a shotgun. If it wasn't for a man knocking a shotgun out of the guy's hand, he'd be dead right now. Let's talk about my friend Eddie McClintock, who was thrown away in a drive-by shooting.
Hold on a second. What you're talking about is a slew of violence.
The guy did 9 years in jail. I want to ask Malcolm Jenkins one question. Did he celebrate when O.J. Simpson got let go for practically beheading two white people?
I don't think he's ever been asked that question. Mike, thanks for the call. Violence happens. As much as I wish we could all take a stand against violence in general, people tend to support what affects them personally and take a stand against what affects them personally. And yes, violence is wrong, but they're talking about one specific thing of people abusing their power. You're not wrong, and none of that stuff was right. But if we talked about every murderer ever, every assault ever, every act of violence ever, then, first off, the protests would never stop. And yeah. No one would ever feel like they ever won anything. My heart goes out to you, man, but I don't want to start a slew of violence, white people against black people, because we're not even talking about that. What we're really talking about right now is one specific thing that, for some people, has fallen on deaf ears. Now, again, Drew Brees has come out and he's apologized for his statement. We'll continue to talk about that in a little bit, but we do have some good sports news we want to get into here, as well as how good Philadelphia has looked over the last couple of days in terms of people actually playing basketball in the street here in Philly. To bring people together, which is a beautiful thing. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting through the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. On the line with us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, our good friend, Philadelphia's own Kevin Negandhi. Kevin, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Bob.
How you doing, buddy?
It's nice to hear some positivity, right?
Yeah, right.
We need good energy the way the last couple of weeks have gone, and the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. Let's just say this damn 2020. Right?
2020 so, definitely sucks.
Yeah. But when you bring up those images, I've got friends as well as cousins that live in the city, and they were blown away by what they witnessed and experienced over the last week and a half. And then you see that basketball net moving around, and with City Hall in the background, and honestly, it was a moment, at least a moment, where for pause, you're like, okay, this is something that's enjoyable and not heartbreaking. So I'm glad you could bring something like that up to point out, the peaceful protests and what the whole point of this is about on the streets and in many, many cities around the world.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Kevin Negandhi, ESPN, we actually put the call out yesterday for a gentleman named Khalil Gardner to call into the show, who we thought was starting up the whole basketball project, the peaceful protest. And it was actually a young lady named Stefania, who's got 155,000 followers on Instagram, who really started the project to go around playing basketball. But as it turns out, Khalil called in earlier in the show and even said that Ben Simmons and Carmelo Anthony have reached out to say, hey, way to go.
That's cool. And that's the power of sport. And here's the one thing too, through the years, I think that you have the combination of, a lot of build up frustration and a lot of questions and a lot of where is the progress? Have we made any progress? It doesn't feel like we've made any progress for people of color in being recognized. And the one thing that you're seeing that feels different now is there's this build up of it's this combustible buildup of enough is enough. And when we look at past moments of protests, and I'm not going back to times when in the 60s, because I can't reflect on that because I wasn't alive, but when you're going back to certain protests, especially let's just say in the last 5 years, one thing that stands out, we're in a time where there is no sports activity. So you get the chance to see a lot of these athletes who would be in training or in season, and the only way they could express themselves is through, social media or what they do before game, which has generated a lot of conversation. But now that they could be active and involved, right, in their own cities, I think of Rodney McLeod, I think of, Malcolm Jenkins, guys that are walking in the in the peaceful protest because they're involved. You go to city by city. You saw Deshaun Watson in Houston. These guys had the opportunity to do that. And I also think that there's a generation of kids, many of them who are in college, that witnessed this when they were a little bit younger and now have a stronger voice. And I'm talking about athletes, you know, college athletes. There is no real platform for college athletes. You know, there is no union, right?
Right.
When you look around. And I think that what you're seeing is the tie-in from social media, understanding that they have a voice and that they have power. That's the one thing that stood out and what has made, I feel, the last 10 days different from what we've experienced ever before.
No, let's turn the page for a second. I know we'll go back to it, especially with Drew Brees' comments and now his apology. But the NBA is supposed to take a big step today. And you want to talk about hope and sports bringing people together. They're supposed to vote on a 22-team tournament, more or less, to decide a champion for the 2019-2020 season. It seems like a lot of logistics still have to be ironed out. When do you think the NBA will hear an official word, not just from Woj, no disrespect to Woj, the man makes all the announcements, but when do you think we'll see Adam Silver on the camera, you know, making an announcement that will get the NBA back?
Well, the voting will be taking place today at 12:30 by the NBA Board of Governors, and it looks like it's going to happen. Because whatever Woj says, it actually happens. I love that guy.
So, he's the best.
Like, to me, I think Silver is one of those guys. Like, I really admire him because he was in the forefront. He was the first sport where he was like, "We're shutting everything down," and he's not the type of guy where he's going to rush anything. So to me, when he says something, it always carries weight because it's always measured. It is always thought through. It's not just his opinion. It is a variety of people around him who have knowledge outside of sports. He's always said, let's listen to the medical professionals, right? So when Adam will say something, and hopefully he says something in the next day and a half for a specific announcement, I think it's going to be one of those thought out things where, all right, how are we breaking everything down? When we have those answers, we will make sure you have it. I'm anticipating, I could be wrong, that it's coming in the next day and a half, not just the announcement that the season is back with 22 teams, but like, what are our logistics? What, maybe they wait till next week where they can figure this stuff out. But yeah, Adam Silver has, in a crisis like this, like we've never experienced before, he has become one of the big leaders in the sports world because he understands the weight that is on his shoulders, and everything is measured. It's not off the cuff. I've never heard Adam Silver say, well, you know, maybe in May. No, it's always, we will see what happens, right?
Or we don't know.
He understands it's a fluid situation, right?
My most favorite thing that he said, Kevin, out of all the commissioners, and this was weeks ago, and I said it here on the air to Mark and Jamie, I said, I love that Adam Silver came out last night and said, I don't know.
Yes.
Because nobody wants to say, oh, well, yeah, we could do this, we could do that, and then people run with it when there's absolutely no answers. And I've been saying it all along. I've been around Adam Silver a lot, and I know the ins and outs a little bit of what he does. You're exactly right. You hit it right on the head. This guy, there's not going to be a stone that hasn't been turned over for him to find a way to get this season run and get it run properly and the way people in the league want it to be run when it finally gets started.
And Bob, you nailed it too. True leadership is knowing your limitations. And it's okay in this time to say, I don't know, because if you don't know, it's better than coming out and boastfully saying, oh, this is what we're doing. This is what's going to be happening in 3 weeks. And Silver has never been like that. And I appreciate that because when you're reporting on news and you're going by, you know, certain days and dates and targets, it's best to hear, hey, we don't know yet. And when we know, we'll let you know, but we're trying to find out as well as much as you. And I think that's what this the last 2.5 months have been like for all of us. Like, it's a very, everything's a fluid situation. If anybody says they know anything about this situation, whether it's going to be, you know, next week, next month, or let's just say in the fall, if they tell you that they know, my first thought is they have no idea because we still don't have any idea about this virus and where it's going to lead us to later on in 2020.
100% with you. Speaking with Kevin Negandhi of ESPN. Kevin, I asked this question half joking. Did baseball die yesterday? What happened?
Oh, my God.
What was that about? They just walked away from the table? No counter offer? What's happening?
Yeah, you know, and this is the owners. I mean, it's part of a negotiation, but we're seeing it go through publicly. This is the owners saying, well, if people are going to blame somebody, let them blame the players. They're not going to blame us. And, you know, there has to be a compromise, which is incredible. When you go 114 to 50, what is the compromise? Oh, it looks like it's 82 games, right?
Yeah.
That's where we started from the beginning. I think the players have to realize, I've been a huge proponent on the players. When you saw that first proposal by Major League Baseball, you're like, wait a second, this makes sense.
Ugh.
Now, I understand the owner's opinions and perspective that if we do not have revenue coming in from the stadium and the concessions, we're going to lose money in this certain window. I get that. But they don't understand the ramifications of what they're going to lose big picture-wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if the NBA's on board. What do we see yesterday? The MLS was on board, and they had a deadline. It looked like the end of everything, and then all of a sudden within, you know, our good friend Andrew Brand, you know, deadline spur action, and that's what happened. Somebody has to give Major League Baseball a hard deadline. And when you can do that, then you're going to find out what's going to happen. Now, Rob Manfred, it was an attorney. He understands negotiation. And the commissioner of baseball, you know, he's working on the side of the owners. He also has to find a way that this has got to be a compromise. We cannot throw in a CBA or CBA logistics from 2021, because that's where things get crazy. And baseball's in such a unique spot because they could have owned some things. They had 3 weeks to own the narrative, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they've lost the narrative because they want to go public with the perception of this, hey, blame this team, blame this side, blame this side, blame this side. And now as a result, we will now interpret it. I think, though, if they stand at this situation and the players don't respond, it'll be catastrophic for the league. And granted, it's all about losing money this year, and they're going to be I'm just saying, public perception-wise, 1994, we all remember the lockout and what it did to that season and how long it took for Major League Baseball to come back, I think, for fans. I think it will be even worse here now. When we're talking about the age group of, you know, 18 to 34, you're going to see a dramatic drop off, and it's already dwindling. It'll be really tough.
Kev, we're going to get you for all four sports today. So we've covered two. I'll hit hockey before Mark hits football. Last week, Gary Bettman came out and said what he said, and everybody was like, "All right, here, hockey, here we go." And then we get into do the show the next morning, and we start talking about it, and we start breaking it down, and we even talked to the local Flyers writer here who said, yeah, I'm 75% sure at the beginning of his conversation with us that hockey's coming back. He finished the conversation, said, now I'm about 50-50. What did you get out of what Gary Bettman said last week? Are we closer to hockey, or was he, unlike Adam Silver, just saying really nothing?
I think we're closer to hockey. And I got to give Gary Bettman some credit, right? He got in front of it before any of the other three professional leagues could counter. Now, granted, the NFL is on ice right now trying to figure things out because they've got time on their side. But I think Gary Bettman hit a home run last week. The question is, the one thing Bettman is doing, and what do we talk about with Adam Silver? Adam Silver is being smart. Like, hey, we're announcing we're going to come back, but at the same time, we're going to figure it out first. And I feel like that's what Bettman did last week, where let's announce it. This is what we're going to propose. But there was always a caveat, if this is possible, right? And to name, you know, the concept of hub cities and have, you know, those 10 cities and stuff. The one thing they've got to do is the league has to find a way that you get that momentum last week, right? Now, granted, you may not have more answers, but you need to constantly give out some morsels, right? So a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And that is updates. You just cannot just quietly go into a hole and no longer give us updates now, right?
Right.
I think that's where we're at. So you give a little hope last week, actually a lot of hope last week. Now leave a trail here so we can continue to follow you, right?
Yeah, right.
And that's important by the end of this week that the NHL has to. And I'm not saying give us concrete answers. I'm saying give us a better idea. Have we trimmed it down from 10 cities to maybe 5 cities? Have we figured out, you know, a target date?
But I don't want to be hypocritical here, especially where we're just lauding Adam Silver, where it's okay to say, I don't know.
Right.
Bettman, I think, needs to still release something saying, we have not forgotten. We're still headed in the right direction. We are continuing to look at all avenues.
Fair enough.
I know with COVID-19, the NFL kind of having training camps hopefully in July and August and preseason and all that, they've acted like, hey, kind of nothing's going on. We're doing business as usual, other than virtual meetings and stuff. Aside from all that, when you look at the NFL and the state it's in right now, the NFL has been at the forefront of the racial tension going on in the United States, police brutality in the United States. Malcolm Jenkins, Colin Kaepernick, those guys around the league have kind of taken up a cause here, even getting the NFL to put $90 million towards social change. When you see what Drew Brees said yesterday, first off, what was your reaction to it? Did you find it to be tone deaf? And were you even surprised that it came from a guy like Drew Brees?
I think all of it. Drew Brees is a very savvy, intelligent person. So I've had the chance to talk to Drew and interview him a couple times. Everything he does is thoughtful and with purpose. And when you look at the statement, I think you could break it down a couple ways. The first part is one thing. And then the second part, when he discusses about disrespect and making sure you stand up, I come back to one thing. It's been 4 years, right, since mm-hmm. Colin Kaepernick did his peaceful protest. It's been enough time for awareness. It's been enough time to gather information on why he did it, right? Mm-hmm. And understanding that there's a difference between politicizing this and understanding why this is a big deal to Colin Kaepernick and so many people that believe in the Black Lives Movement. It's because they are bringing attention to what is wrong with the system when they experience it in their communities. That's all it is. And I come back to a couple things. Kaepernick did it, the kneeling, because in the beginning he was just sitting down. He did it after a conversation with a Green Beret, Nate Boyer, who suggested respecting the flag by kneeling. So he was following a guy in the military with that experience, aware and suggesting, hey, this is probably the better way to do it. And people are still finding fault with a protest. If you're protesting, and I'm of Indian descent, and, Gandhi has had a major influence in my life, because without Mahatma Gandhi and his civil disobedience, I wouldn't be here. My family wouldn't have been able to move here. And so understanding what civil disobedience is, it is your right to protest peacefully, but you do it in a way where you don't raise arms. You're not disrespectful. And this whole movement where it suddenly now gets twisted into something else, and now you lose the whole point. You lose the whole point in the messaging. And that's the frustrating part, I think, that you saw on Malcolm Jenkins. Like, we're losing the messaging on the reason why Colin Kaepernick did it, right? Suddenly now it moves, from this conversation of let's bring awareness to the brutality that the Black community goes through when it comes to policing, to now suddenly a patriotic thing. And it was never about that with Colin Kaepernick, and everybody around has expressed that and talked about that, right? And 4 years later, it's like we're having the same discussions over and over again. And are we learning anything? Are we listening, right? And Breeze's, response today about listening. I need to listen more. From the beginning, I need to listen more. The one thing that has stood out the last 10 days is we have seen more people of power who are white in the sports world speak out. The J.J. Watts of the world, right? People that Malcolm Jenkins has said, I can't do it by myself anymore. Our community can't do it. We need your help, right? Like, perfect example is what Aaron Rodgers put out last night on social media, where he said it has never been about an anthem or a flag.
Right.
Not then and not now. Like, listen with an open heart. When you make that statement, and Aaron's a very smart guy, and that stood out to me because that's the whole point. It has never been about that. And he could see it. I think the frustrating part for Malcolm, and you saw a bunch of Saints players, and now you've seen a bunch of NFL players, is, why can't you just see what we're trying to say? Let's not mix it up here the way that messaging was mixed up 4 years ago and throughout the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we're at a different time in the history of understanding where it's like, let's have more empathy. Let's understand why. And more people outside of people of color are speaking out and understanding the reasons why Colin Kaepernick did what he did from the start.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I couldn't be more on the same page with you. I'll be, in all honesty, when it first happened with Kaepernick, I was outraged because I thought everyone thought of that time when the national anthem is being played as I did. And I couldn't have been more wrong. And I admit that. Kevin, always
well,
great.
And Mark, I want to say one thing, and I know you guys got to go because of a break.
Yeah,
I want to say one thing, though.
Sure.
For anybody that chastises, you know, Kaepernick's thought and process of kneeling before an anthem, when you look around a stadium, are you cool with the person that's on his cell phone during the anthem, has his hat on during the anthem, is talking during the anthem, walking, sitting down, eating, like all those things go on if you look at any environment in a sports environment when the national anthem's going on. I'm one of those guys that stands up.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for what I have, and it's always been that way. But who am I to tell anybody else what they're supposed to do during an anthem? And if you're going to criticize one, look around and see that other people are doing things that are not respecting the flag the way they get outraged when they see somebody that kneels.
That's a great
point.
And
that's what I'll say about it. And because there are many people around stadiums where you look around and be like, well, what are they doing? And are you as mad at that person while you're talking on your cell phone and you're telling somebody else how to protest? That's the thing that I disagree with.
No, I also love the line, you can only protest when I feel comfortable. Like, what? No, that's not how it works. Not at all.
That's
not
the point of a protest.
Exactly.
Kev, just real quick, last thing for you, and I wanted to make sure we work this in because, you know, we're obviously both Temple guys, and Merv Jones passed away, PA announcer, just a gentleman of a man. I didn't know him well. I knew him enough to say hello. But he passed away, involved at Temple University for 30 years, if it longer went there, obviously. And just your thoughts on Merv.
Merv was a great guy. You know, Merv was there when he just started when I was in school there. And me and him had great conversations. His energy as a PA announcer, you know, you're not just there to, you know, say the names. You're there to deliver the energy in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And Merv was like our voice,
yeah.
Right? I think that, you know, many Sixers fans that grew up with the Zinks hearing Julius Erving, you know, and Matt Cord now, you can relate to that. And, of course, the great Dan Baker, we relate to him when we hear his voice. Merv was like that for us, our Temple Owl fan base. So when you heard him talk, you were like, there it is. All right, it's officially a Temple basketball game, and I'm going to miss the man. He had a gentle heart, always a smile on his face, and the campus lost a great one, and I'm glad you brought it up, Mark.
Of course.
Rest in peace, and our thoughts are with his family. Merv was a good one, man.
Shooting one and one.
Good stuff.
Kev, great talking to you as always, man. Thanks so much.
Always the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Kev.
The great Kevin Negandhi, Temple University product, ESPN. Always great catching up with Kevin. Yeah, Merv Jones just wanted to make sure we gave him a shout out today.
Yeah.
He could not be a nicer man.
Yeah, I was sad to see that last night. Obviously, we all knew him. A shame. We've lost many good voices, unfortunately. But the fortunate side is, along with Merv, we have had and continue to have a lot of great ones in this city.
Absolutely. Going to run through some more calls when we come back. And also, you know, we've talked about maybe Drew Brees saying the worst thing on a serious note. Well, maybe on a lighter note, somebody else said something that might just be a little bit worse. It's not exactly what you tell a group of protesters. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Time of the Fanatic 923.
Sure, UFC 249 was exciting, but that was just the primer. This Saturday, UFC 250 is starting off the June sports calendar with a bang. The fighters are eager to get into the octagon, and DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action with a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Think you know who's going to win the big fight this weekend? Put your money where your mouth is and place a bet on the winner with DraftKings Sportsbook. If you haven't tried it yet, betting on the MMA is easy. You can pick one fighter per match, you can parlay your fights within the card, and you can even bet on which round the fight will end or how it will end for some juicy odds. And for a limited time, DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino is offering a profit boost on every fight on the main card. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a 50% profit boost on each main card fight for UFC 250. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app now and use code FANATIC when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook has a sign-up bonus up to a grand. Don't forget, enter code FANATIC to get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires a 25-time playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Drew Brees finds himself in some hot water around the league yesterday after his comments about the flag. I'm Jamie Lynch, and this update is brought to you by the Ad Council. When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cute teapot. You bring home so much good to the community because your purchase funds job training and more in our neighborhoods. Learn more at goodwill.org. Drew said in an interview with Yahoo Finance that he would never agree with anyone disrespecting the flag during the national anthem by kneeling. His own teammates, including former Eagle Malcolm Jenkins, were very outspoken in their disagreement with his stance. NFL teams may be on track to return to their team facilities in time for training camps this year, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. MLB pitcher Trevor Bauer on the Pat McAfee podcast thinks there's a 95 to 100% chance that the MLB season is resumed this year. The NBA has announced plans to play a 22-team tournament for the playoffs in Orlando, Florida, beginning on July 31st this year.
Jamie Lynch on 97.5, The Fanatic.
There's a place in Pennsylvania where the aroma of freshly baked bread takes you back to a kindler, gentler time. A time when families still gather together to enjoy a handmade tomato pie. When traditional recipes and fresh ingredients combine for an authentic old-world taste. That time and place still exist at Corpolese Bakery and Deli. Since 1924, the Corpolese family has been sharing their favorite foods and flavors with their favorite Philadelphians. Hand-carved deli meats and cheeses, freshly baked breads, rolls, cookies, pies, and more. And of course, the world-famous Corpolese tomato pie, voted best in Philadelphia in 2014. Corpolese Bakery and Deli in Norristown, Limerick, and Douglasville, where four generations of pride go into everything they make, including hoagie and party trays, specialty cakes, and stromboli. Take yourself back to a better time at Corpolese Bakery and Deli, where nostalgia isn't just a word, it's an ingredient. Learn more at CorpolesBakery.com.
Trade Pros. Ferguson is committed to making business with us the easiest part of your day. Ferguson.com is designed to help run your business from the office to the job site by making your day-to-day activities easier with 24/7 account access, unmatched online inventory, and on-the-go account management. And with our Pro Plus customer loyalty program, you can earn points with every online purchase, redeemable for merchandise, event tickets, trips, and more. Sign up today at Ferguson.com.
Ahoy!
Ahoy!
Yoo-hoo! Ahoy!
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 Ahoy there!
Ahoy!
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 In the name of the great Neptune! Ahoy!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered with basic plans starting at $100 a year. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for a basic liability policy not available in all states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Comcast Business is here for you. Right now, get 200 megabit internet and one voice mobility line for $99.99 per month for 2 years with a 3-year agreement when you sign up for paperless billing and automatic payments. Plus, ask about other offers to get a prepaid card worth up to $500. When every connection counts, you can count on us. Call 1-800-501-6000 today.
Request enrollment, paperless billing, automatic payments through Comcast Business My Account or service charge increases by $10 per month. Offer ends 6/30/20. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited new Comcast Business internet, 200 megabits per second on one voice mobility line. Customers only. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra subject to change.
The Fanatic is live and local, helping to keep the community connected. Here's what you need to know. Service First Heating and Air Conditioning is at your service all summer long with repairs and maintenance performed safely in your home. Needed a new system? Service First is at your service with 0% financing for 72 months on qualifying units. Schedule service today at servicefirsthvac.com. Let us help you stay connected. Email us at family@975thefanatic.com. The Fanatic family, keeping us together while we're apart. Now, more of Farzetta in the Morning
with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I've told you, Bob, that I'm a freezer family now. That happens.
Yeah, you're very proud of yourself on this.
I just feel like, you know, like the term dad bod is supposed to make you feel better about being not in shape.
Yeah.
Well, like I'm a freezer dad now. We got the freezer for all the this. Like, for
did you organize it? Did you take some of my advice, or have you not gone shopping enough, or had food delivered that you have enough to put in the extra freezer?
I will say this: since we started watching Sopranos, my wife and I didn't watch. Like I said earlier, I didn't watch like the first four seasons of the six, in quotation, seasons that there were. So my wife and I, she never watched any of it. So we're now watching it on her suggestion, which I'm down with.
All right.
But I use the term agita a lot. Like everything's agita. Uh-huh. Like, oh, this is giving me agita. And she's like, I don't think you know what that means. I know exactly what it means. And then she hears the term come up in Sopranos. So now she's using the term. And I started organizing the new freezer. And we got like a great deal on it. And she goes, you can't organize the freezer. I have to organize the freezer. And I'm like, why? She goes, because you're giving me agita. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. You can't start using my word because you watch a show now. Not happening.
Yeah, I have to load our fridge.
You have to.
Oh. Addie has no fridge etiquette. It's a mess.
I saw what she did.
Oh.
You tweeted it out. And
that
you
was
were
messed
right
up.
To do so.
What was that, by the way?
Whipped cream cheese, which is one of my favorite snacks.
I got to tell you, somebody had a pretty good suggestion. Don't complain. Just grab some bread.
Grab some bread.
I mean, I didn't
grab
waste
some
it.
Bread and wipe it up, you know, clean it out.
I didn't waste
container.
It, but my problem was her putting it. Like I said to her, I said, that you finish that off with like the finger swipe.
Exactly.
Yes.
Or you grab a pretzel and.
Maybe she was leaving it for you.
Yeah. Whipped cream cheese with pretzels.
No.
Top notch snack.
False advertising. That's what it is. When you leave something like that, that's empty in there.
Because I went, ooh, there's cream cheese left.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, pretzel. And then I opened it up and I felt like I got stabbed.
I believe the line.
I felt bad for you when I saw it. I really did.
Yeah, you should.
The line from Seinfeld is, it's too light. Oh, but there's milk. Oh, it's too light.
But, I mean, I'm a little OCD, so I have the fridge kind of categorized. I have my hot sauce shelf, you know, your condiment shelf, your salad, and, you know, milk over here, beer's over here. You know, it's very organized.
You're a sane human being.
Yeah. And she has no respect for the kingdom of the fridge. None. She'll put anything wherever, and then I can't find it. It's a mess. And as somebody that does the majority of the cooking, I don't appreciate it.
Okay, Mufasa. All right. Open the fridge. Light goes on. You look at your wife.
All you see, all that the light touches is my kingdom.
Yeah. She's like, even the antelope? All right, anyway. All right. So nonetheless, Drew Brees said something on a serious note that you probably shouldn't say, which is, telling somebody else what you should do. All right. And that's how he felt. I agree with how he felt. I just don't agree with telling somebody else they're just flat out disrespecting the flag when they've said this entire time it's not about that. Nonetheless, let's go on a lighter note, Bob. You've heard the comparison of, we're not going to let a few bad apples in the police force ruin the whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Rock has a whole riff on it that people have retweeted a million times. I believe our old friend Marshall Harris, as a matter of fact, tweeted out the bit and it got like 20,000 retweets, whatever. But it's a great bit that Chris Rock does. Instead of going the route, because I guess, I don't know if this police officer who's addressing the protesters saw that bit and didn't want to go down that path of the bad apple. So we used a different analogy when talking about police officers. I don't know where this was, who said it, or what. I just saw it. I don't even know when it was. It could have been 20 years ago. I don't know. But TikTok didn't.
It's a Black Lives Matter protest, so I would imagine it's from this past week.
Okay. All right, I would imagine as well, but I don't know for sure. But I sure as heck don't know where it was. Here is how the police officer described maybe some bad.
Ah.
Yeah, I didn't know that second guy was there.
Oh, yeah, no, he's there. Now I just got to say, because that dumps the whole thing probably.
Yeah.
So let me just explain it to you. The cop is on a loudspeaker. First off, to his credit for trying to communicate with protesters. That's something not too many people have tried to do here. So he tries to avoid conflict. And he says, instead of a few bad apples ruining a whole bunch, he goes, one bad hamburger at McDonald's does not make McDonald's bad.
And then the response was pretty much,
what the bleep are you talking about? I don't know if it's the best way to reach the audience. I'll just say that. But hey, it was peaceful.
Yeah.
It was peaceful. So let's let's spike the proverbial football.
He's entitled to his weird opinion.
Wombat hamburger at McDonald's does not mean McDonald's is bad. What the bleep are you talking about? Supersize on me. Here we go. Let's get to Rick in Bucks County. What's up there, Rick?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for holding, man. I appreciate it. What's on your mind today?
No problem. Just want to talk about the whole Drew Brees and Malcolm Jenkins incident. Before I talk about that, I want to reference the previous caller, John, a while back. I think that, you know, John had a lot of merit about the narratives by the media that he was referring to. I just think that, you know, he was reaching a little bit on this one. The reason why I think he's reaching is the point that Malcolm Jenkins has been trying to point out all along, which is you aren't listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Drew Brees is the perfect example of this, and his stance against it, and his stance is common amongst those who stand in a position of privilege, right?
Uh-huh.
His intent wasn't bad, wasn't malicious, but it was definitely ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't necessarily think about the position that Malcolm Jenkins or any person of color is standing in because he's in that position of privilege. When you earn the position on an NFL team or any sports team, it comes with a platform. And I think that that comes with an implied responsibility that you should know your community that you represent. And Bree spoke about the civil rights movement in the context of that whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I stand up for the flag is because of our progress with civil rights, et cetera. My problem with that is that the civil rights movement in New Orleans, the place that he represents, wasn't as progressive as I think he thinks it was. We had white flight in New Orleans during the 1950s, during the 1960s, that government economic policies shifted and allowed the white community to move to the suburbs. And New Orleans was a booming economy. It was a booming town. But then racist policies came in to allow for the segregation to once again occur.
Mm.
And yet we don't talk about those things. So when Malcolm Jenkins says, you're not listening, that is a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is saying that we don't appreciate the flag, we don't love America. What we're saying is that not everyone has the same privilege, not everyone has the same right as the other person of color.
Oh, absolutely.
When that happens,
yeah,
you show your ignorance, you aren't listening, and that's why I stand with Malcolm Jenkins. In those times, if you don't know what you're talking about, shut the F up.
see, and people, thanks, somebody criticized me for not playing the other cut. Why would I want what's not his raw emotion? Why would we want to hear what's not his raw emotion? And that's what Malcolm Jenkins said. You shut the bleep up, okay? And I appreciate the call, by the way. And that's one of the reasons why I was so fascinated by Tobias Harris's article on Players Tribune. And we haven't even really talked about it much today.
And he's ripping Breeze's comments this morning, apology.
Yeah.
He said, do yourself a favor, and when you're making an apology, don't hire a PR firm to do it. Put yourself on camera, put a video out there, and show us your emotion, and show us that you care.
And save us your keystrokes, I think.
Yeah, and he's kind of right.
But with Tobias Harris and just the article on Players Tribune, he acknowledged something that I didn't think he would. And I didn't even know that this was true. But he had to educate himself on how minorities were treated and how black people were treated, because he's like, I didn't experience that growing up. The only thing I ever experienced was when my dad would take me to Harlem to play basketball, because he grew up in, what, Long Island?
Yeah.
And he said,
yeah, Hempstead, New York.
He's like, I was a kid that was privileged because I was good at basketball and I was a star athlete and I played this or I played that. So I never got that quote unquote black treatment. And he goes, he'd go to Harlem and he would see the way people live there. And he was like, wow, I'm lucky to live where I live, but not, right. I'm lucky to be this type of member of the black community. And then he talked about going to college. And then after that, he started to educate himself on the civil rights movement and only learning about, he said, three black leaders in school, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, and Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. He goes, meanwhile, we learn about a whole slew of white leaders. And he goes, we never learned about that, so I had to educate myself on it. And when I was in Orlando playing, and that's what he, this is what he said, he goes, I missed the Trayvon Martin march. And he said, I regret that to this day. That's why I was out there on that Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, marching from the Art Museum steps to City Hall. Because I wasn't going to miss this opportunity to be a part of a movement. And for someone to admit that, first off, in the community, in any community where you might identify yourself as not really one of us, because let's face it, it's not just black culture, it's a lot of different cultures where, yeah, you could be white, but are you white like I'm white? You could be, like, I remember when Donovan McNabb was playing, you heard a lot of stuff from Bernard Hopkins, like, oh, he's not black enough. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about, the divide within the own community, and every community has this. It's not just a black and white thing. But when a guy like Tobias Harris comes out, admits that, and then says, you know what, I need to be better and educate myself, why can't I, as your, I guess, typical white guy, why can't I educate myself on it even more so? Which is what makes Drew Brees' comments even more damning.
Absolutely. And what I loved about Tobias Harris' story, it seemed like he turned his phone on and he hit the speak button and he just spoke and it went into words. And it went on to paper. Like, it didn't seem, you know, it literally to me seemed like he just spoke and the words came out and there was no hidden agenda. And him saying the Trayvon Martin incident is really what woke him up and took him, made him take himself out of the NBA element, I believe is how he worded it. It was perfect. Yeah. It was absolutely perfect. And you're right, Mark. We need to educate ourselves. And that's why I think this Drew Brees thing, with the ignorance that he showed yesterday, is perfect in that, boom, there's the lesson right in front of you. Here's a guy who's a good guy, who is not prejudiced, who doesn't seem to be racist at all,
right,
but he was just ignorant to what Malcolm Jenkins was trying to do. And now you can make that lesson even clearer after today. He comes out with the apology. I'm sure Malcolm Jenkins will have a response. And you move on from here. Good lesson to be learned and right there in front of us.
All right, Chris and Joe, I'm going to take you guys right when we come back. I believe it's Keon, Sean, and Kenny. We'll talk to you guys in a minute. Time at the Fanatic 641 or 941.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.